And welcome back to the Drive. We're at Hollywood Casino out here at the Legends. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. 5 o'clock hour. We play the hits. I can't believe it's 5 o'clock hour. I'm having a ton of fun.
Before we get to the hits, Bink, I want people to know we got 1 hour left out here. Technically, if you want to get really, you know, in the weeds, we got like 58 minutes left. But get out here before 6 o'clock tonight, because that's when all the fun ends. We are broadcasting all the way until six when Josh Furnier's on-deck show takes over. Here at the Hollywood, it's the sports book inside the Hollywood Casino. We are registering fans. I see people registering right now for a chance to win a Charles Minnehue signed football and register for a chance of a pair of tickets for Chiefs and Colts. Those are fantastic deals, but don't worry, Bink. I got more for you. If you get down here before 6 o'clock and you are following the Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever, whatever the social media platform you prefer, and you are following them there, they have a chance to win $100 in pin cash. They are pulling a winner at the top very hour all the way until 6 o'clock, which means 57 minutes from now, another winner gets pulled. You missed the last window by 3 minutes. Get down here. This is a fantastic sports book and a great sports watching experience.
And don't let the Colts fan win everything. He didn't like Daniel Jones. He didn't like Anthony Rick. He didn't like Lincoln Riley. He likes Tyler Warren, though.
He's a Colts fan. He's not used to doing much winning. He hasn't seen winning since Peyton Manning
but
left.
You know,
town.
To his credit, he's signing up for everything, and he'll probably win. Regardless. But it's 5 o'clock, and you know what happens then, Rob? Well, I crack a beer open, yes. But we play the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Bink, let's start the hits with the Kansas City Royals as we will pivot away from the Chiefs for just a minute as they will, Vern's on deck show will take over in about an hour from now and they get ready for a pivotal series. The Royals, stage one, as we used to call it, of this road trip was Toronto and Boston. They were playing good teams and they were asking them to tread water. They did that 3-3 in between the series against the Jays and the Red Sox. Now they head to Minnesota tonight and what would be claimed a must-win series. Bink, if you still have hope that the Royals are going to be a playoff team, do they have to win this series and then series beyond to be playing in October?
Well, I think so. I think you start looking at 2-3, 2 out of 3 series. What was the stat you guys had? They 12-11 gets everybody not in playoff contention.
Here's the stat we had yesterday for people who missed it. It is the average third wild card in the AL since it has been brought into existence is an 86-win team. For the Royals to get 86 wins, they got to win what? That's 28, 29. They got to win 29 more games.
Yeah.
The easiest way to do that is to break it down versus winning and losing teams. If the Royals go 12-11 from here out against over 500 teams, that means they need to go 17-7 against under 500 teams. That gets them the magic number 86. People believe 86 will make them a playoff team. So for that 17-7 stat, yep. Bink, that would include the Minnesota Twins tonight, who are pitching Joe Ryan.
Absolutely, and winning 2 out of 3 against a good team like the Blue Jays, they were first place, then dropping 2 of 3 to Boston. I feel like they could have won 2 of 3 against Boston. Minnesota, you see the series, you know, they traded everybody off. They were the biggest trade deadline losers. That team's going to be sold too. Anyway, the Twins are a joke, but the bottom line is they just beat Detroit 2 out of 3. So it's one thing to look at a team. I like to call the White Sox America's booty call, but they're not around because since June they have as many wins as the Yankees. You can't do that anymore. You can't. The Royals, don't forget, they got hammered by the A's at home. Things they shouldn't have happened to the Royals did happen to them then. So, yes, every series is important. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter that it's the Minnesota Twins. They need to be treated like the Boston Red Sox. They just have to because they'll beat you. If you sleep on them, they'll beat you. Ask Detroit, 2 out of 3 against a team. And, again, they're professional baseball players. They're trying to make a name for themselves, trying to be on their roster of their team for the next season. So you're going to get the best effort out of teams. And the Royals have to, which I don't think they do. I don't think they overlook anybody. They shouldn't overlook anybody because they're not in that position to overlook anybody. And when it does happen, bad things happen in baseball. But, yes, Sal Perez loves playing up there at Target, man. Loves playing up there. Can the pitching stay consistent? We're already, August 8th?
Mm-hmm.
And the pitching is still good. And I know that you've had injuries, but again,
not been a problem at all. Yeah.
They're still top 3 in ERA in Major League Baseball. They still continue to do the deal. They have some big dogs pitching the next 2 nights, at least in Lugo and Cameron. I love that. Then you have one of the trade deadlines, Burgert, on Sunday. But still, good pitching for the weekend series. So I like the pitching. Now, will the bats show up at Target? They've moved India down to the 7th spot like they did in Boston. Yaz is leading off. I'm good with that. India was good with that. Hey, if it sparks this lineup, which we have seen this team not throwing the towel. Like a few nights ago against Boston, remember they were getting no hit. It was a perfect game through five.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turned it around. And then all of a sudden, because typically Royals would have lost a game like that.
1-0. Yeah.
It would have happened. But they're coming back. They're believing in themselves. They're scoring some runs. Listen, they did leave 11 on base the other day. I get it. That's still a problem. But as long as you're scoring 6 and 7 runs, if you leave 11 guys on base, you can deal with that because it doesn't stand out like a sore thumb. But, yes, every series should be taken seriously. And, yes, Royals are better than Minnesota. You got to prove it, though. Win at least 2 out of 3. A sweep shouldn't be out of the question.
The 17-7 stats, very glass half full. Vern said this earlier in the show, and if you didn't hear it, catch on the podcast page. He said this in the show, and it's worth noting. The Twins are a carcass of a team. They had a massive fire sale a week ago for the deadline. The Royals were quasi, sort of buyers. The Twins are closer to the Royals in the standings than the Royals are close to, you know, the who's the number one wild card? The Red Sox. So,
well, there's only three wins different between the Royals and the Twins.
This is a game that you feel like you, a series you feel like you should win because you were a buyer at the deadline, but if – It's not a gimme because, A, there are no gimmies in Major League Baseball, and, two, the Twins are pretty close to a mirror image of you. So if you are still dreaming a dream for playoffs, these sorts of series cannot be, oh, we lost a hard-fought series. It has to be series wins. Now, to that stats point, I guess they could lose a series and then sweep the Rangers later, and it comes out, you know, in the wash. But if you're going to get hot and get to 86 wins, it's got to be against teams like the Minnesota Twins.
And the good news is you do have the Rangers at home for four. You swept them in Arlington, but you do get them for four at home. And the Seattle Mariners, they played that series at home as well. Two teams that are ahead of the Royals. Obviously, they still have to go to Cleveland. But you look at the wild card. All right, Cleveland sits 1.5 back, tied with Texas, both being 1.5 back. Texas, I believe, in a lot more than Cleveland because of pitching. Texas can pitch, and they'll continue to be good. But you look at the Royals where they sit and think, okay, Cleveland. They're going to come back to the pack. You lose Ortiz in the rotation. You lose your all-star closer in Emmanuel Clase. Things are going to change for Cleveland. I don't expect Cleveland to be part of this equation at the end. So then you think, can you be better than Texas? Can you be better than Seattle? Well, guess what? You got 7 games against those teams. It's time to go out and prove it. But, again, just making the dance. Just make the dance. Make the third wild card. There's no shame in making third wild card at all. I know you want to win the division. It doesn't matter if you're first wild card or second. It doesn't matter. 2 years ago, the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series. Rangers won the whole thing. They were the second wild card in the American League, only one game from being the third wild card that year, 2 years ago. But they were second, and then the Diamondbacks were the third wild card team in the National League. They met for the World Series. Just get into the dance. They have the pitching that would be very dangerous in the postseason, I believe.
Number two.
Number two.
All right, Big, let's pivot back to the Kansas City Chiefs as their first preseason game is in Phoenix tomorrow. I guess Glendale, whatever, against the Arizona Cardinals. That can be exclusively heard here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs football. Big, I feel like I'm going to credit you here because all offseason I heard you pounding the table, screaming and shouting, telling anyone who would listen until you got blue in the face, hey, you got to do more at wide receiver than just bring Jalen Orles in via the draft and bring Hollywood Brown back. You got to do more. You got to do more. You got to do more. Well, here we sit, and we are about a little over 24 hours away from the first Chiefs preseason game. And as we look on paper about the regular season team, they are going to likely have no Rashee Rice early in the season, as Albert Breer is reporting they expect a 4-6-game suspension for him. Hollywood Brown, probably not going to play tomorrow. He's been hurt, has not been practicing. The status unknown for the regular season. Could be healthy by them, could not be. We don't know. And on paper now, their wide receivers look very, very similar to how they did in the past. Are you at all worried about the depth or lack thereof with this Chiefs receiving core?
Yeah, I am. I know that I've talked a lot about Tyquan Thornton, you know, guy I really like, but it's the back end of the rotation as I think they keep 7 very at the back end. Nico Remigio, of course, they're at the back end too, but yeah, you want to see a lot of Juju? Well, you're probably going to see him. You're probably going to see some Juju and the rookie Jalen Royals. And hopefully Worthy, because I really like Xavier Worthy and is kind of the stepping up he's done towards the end of last season. through the postseason. Nobody was better for the Chiefs than Xavier Worthy, and I expect a lot this season from Xavier Worthy. But I think it's going to have a lot of the same looks to it, except Xavier Worthy, 1 year of NFL experience already under the belt. So I think he starts off fast. Last year kind of took till midseason until Xavier Worthy was ready to roll. So, yes, I think the Chiefs got better on that end. I think Jalen brings you more than the Justin Watson did, let's say. So I think they're better. Now, I'd like to count on Hollywood Brown, but I don't know if you can. Again, I know he missed 15 games last year. I know he's got the ankle injury now. Isn't it just an ankle with him? We don't know the extent.
We don't know the extent, but yes.
But there's no surgery so far. It's an ankle. He's missed 5 practices. We do know that. I will say this. You can't always count on Hollywood Brown. He has missed 24 games since 2022. Not 5, not 10, not 20, but 24 games since then. To count on somebody that's missed 24 games, yes, you say he missed 15 last year. Okay, well, he missed 9 before that the previous 3 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of games missed, so you can't always count on that action. But, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing Royals. Juju, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Juju playing. But, yeah, on paper, you'd like to say, are they better? Well, Worthy's better. I think you're getting a better Worthy. And, yes, I think Jalen Royals is better than the alternatives like Sky or Justin and guys like that, Justin Watson using it. So, yeah, I think they are better on that. But they need to find a way to get Hollywood Brown back. And maybe, hopefully he will. Hopefully he'll be ready for week one.
I think one thing about, and the text lines call me a Hollywood hater. That's fine. I think your point about him being hurt is well taken. And I think the first,
It's fact.
Yeah, the first 4-6, when they don't have Rashee Rice, I don't know the wide receiver core is better right now than it was last season. Like, Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. That is going to happen. Now, we don't know the length. We don't know the when. But we know he's going to be suspended. Let's just assume it's from the start of the season. Those 4 to 6 weeks, if Hollywood Brown is even just trying to get back into the rhythm after getting back from injury, you're looking at a receiving group that looks eerily similar to last year's, and last year's receiving group lacked explosiveness. Now, yeah, Xavier Worthy will be better, we presume, because in the best shape of his life, Travis Kelce will be better. But, man, on paper, it looks eerily the same, and last postseason, I don't know they had enough juice or explosion. So until Rashee Rice is back, I don't know the receivers are better. I think they will be once he comes back, but, man, betting on health and Rashee Rice to just come back and hit the ground running are two big bets by the Chiefs.
Listen, I like Ashton Gelati. I like Omar Narmon Lott. I like these guys. I think they're going to be great in the rotation. They're going to help this defense. But I was pounding on the desk. Draft more than one wide receiver. Get more and more wide receivers. You never know when you're going to need them. You knew the Rice suspension was probably going to come up, and then you're hanging your hat on Hollywood Brown being healthy. But you can't do that the last couple of years. It looks great on paper, but again, when the games are played, things change. That's why I'm always an advocate of getting more than just one wide receiver in the NFL draft, especially as talented as they've been the last couple of years. You can definitely get it. So we're hanging our hats on a fourth-round pick. And Jalen Royals, like, you're hanging your hat on him being ready to go with Patrick Mahomes, getting to know the formations, getting to know what this offense does, which is difficult. So sometimes that's kind of harder to do. But, yes, they need Hollywood back. But can you always count on it? No, I don't think I definitively say, hey, don't worry, Hollywood's going to be back for week one. He's going to be ready for Sao Paulo. He's ready. He's going to be 100% ready. No, I don't think I can say that.
Number three. All right, Ben, speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, you had some interesting stats, and it's a conversation I feel like we have had all offseason, and at one point we were having last season, but the success of the team kind of buried the combo. The offense needs to be better in 2025 than it was in 2024. What are some spots where you could see this Chiefs offense getting back to its roots of being an offense that strikes fear into people as opposed to one that strikes mediocrity into fans?
You mean the team that was scoring 30 points a game and was first in the NFL in points per game that was just fourth, which wasn't a far slide, but sliding all way back to 15th in the league the last two seasons? Yes, I know. If you come up and say, well, Jay, I mean, you make a point about the offense, but they weren't in the Super Bowl. Yes, that's 100% right. But you always constantly got to get better. I don't care how good you thought you were. You're never as good until you continually strive to get better. Because guess what? Other teams do start to creep up on you. And if you want to put the stiff arm out and keep the Chiefs well out in front of people, you constantly evolve. And one of the ways is getting a more explosive offense back because they want to do it. They have the talent to do it. You got possibly one of the greatest play callers in the history of the league, Andy Reid, calling your plays. You've got possibly one of the greatest quarterbacks top two, three quarterbacks of all time playing quarterback for you. Utilize them. Don't be throwing 3 yards. Don't be leading the league in yards behind or throws behind the line of scrimmage. Throw it downfield. Be that explosive offense. We saw 15 points a game from this team. The passing offense slipped back. But, of course, that's going to happen when you're not getting protection at left tackle and when you're not having receivers stretch the field and dropping passes for your quarterback or not being in bounds when catching the football. All these factors did happen. But, yes, the Chiefs can be better. The running game, waiting to see. I do miss Samaje Perine, I'm not going to lie. I thought he was a great third down back, what he could do on the backfield, what he could do blocking. We'll see if the Chiefs can still do that with third down. Obviously, with Bashard Smith in, you expect, you know, fancy plays here and there and wheel routes. That's fine. But what can Pacheco do? What can he bring you? How good will he be in the running game? The guy's on a contract year. The guy's going to be looking out, going to try to make some money. It wasn't so when he came back from injury last year. Just a different Pacheco. That's why they signed Kareem Hunt off the couch, and he became a three-yard in a cloud of dust running back for the Chiefs. It's a guy they trusted at the end of halves. It's a guy they trusted in the second half. So it wasn't Isaiah Pacheco. It was Kareem Hunt. So what does Pacheco have to show you in the running game this season? But the running game is definitely something the Chiefs can get better and better at because they were 22nd in the NFL, bottom third in the NFL rushing the ball last year. Take that pressure off Mahomes, have him lean back, back that safety off. If you start backing the safety off by throwing the ball downfield instead of 2 yards in a cloud of dust offense they've been doing, if you back that safety up, guess what? Good things happen in your running game. It should always be a dream playing running back behind Patrick Mahomes because they're going to be so worried and so conscious about him throwing the ball downfield that safety will start creeping back instead of up, and that's been the problem with the Chiefs running game.
I feel like, and this is a common sentiment, and that concludes the hits. It's a common sentiment on the text line when we talked about this earlier today. Well, if they had a left tackle last year, the offense would have been explosive again. It's that simple. Left tackle, offense explosive, bing, bang, boom. I looked the stat up. You know the Chiefs were in the bottom third of sacks allowed in 2023? Now, that's two seasons ago. Last year, the offensive line had issues. They were in the upper echelon of sacks allowed, which is not where you want to be. But 2 years ago, 2023, Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs were in the bottom third of the NFL in sacks allowed. That's where you want to be as an offensive line in that category. And you know what the offense was? Mid. The offense was just okay. A lot of the stats you read off about last year's offense were applicable to the 2023 offense. It was a lot of plug and play. So I get frustrated with fans sometimes, and they say, well, if you just fix the offensive line, bing, bang, boom, we're back to 2018, no problem. I don't know if it's Mahomes. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's offensive line. I don't know if it's weaponry. I don't know what the answer is, and probably it's a little bit of everything goes into the pot to make the problem stew, for lack of a better term. But I do think Josh Simmons can help, but I think the problems the Chiefs offense last year extended beyond just, hey, their left tackle wasn't good. And I feel like fans think, oh, Josh Simmons is going to come in, he's going to be a cure-all, and everything's fixed. I think they have problems to fix in that offense beyond just their left tackle.
I think a lot of it comes down to trust. Can you get in that circle of trust? Does he trust throwing the football? Meaning on third down and he scramble around, does he trust you're going to make that break? Like a Kelsey does when the play breaks down. It's like Wink Martindale, the old Ravens defensive coordinator, said there's two plays. The play they call it, the Chiefs call, and the play they run. It's always different. Think guys break off. Becomes backyard football at times. That's what he said about the Chiefs, and that's what it is. It's a trust between Mahomes and his receivers that they're going to make adjustments and change when they see him in trouble, because he's been in trouble a lot the last couple of years when he's got out of the pocket because of the linemen. But you got to trust. He's got to trust that left side. He's got to trust the receivers to make plays. Not just one guy. Not just throwing it to Worthy and he's going to catch it. Not throwing it to Rashee Rice all the time because he's going to be out. What are you going to do? Who can you trust? Pete Carroll, when he was at USC, when he was done, before he kind of took over the Seahawks, wrote a book. It was all about trust. When players can trust the players around them, that's when they can perform to their abilities. But until you trust somebody, you can't completely play to your abilities. And I think that's been missing with the offense, that factor of trust that the quarterback has had.
Speaking of trust, fans seem to already trust Josh Simmons. Are you all in? Are you, you know what, I'll make a gambling analogy because we're here at the Hollywood Casino. Are you sliding all your chips to the middle of the table on Josh Simmons already? Because
no.
We have seen exactly zero live reps in preseason games. We've seen even less in a regular season game. Are you, after some St. Joe Twitter clips all in on Josh Simmons right now. Hey, he's the guy. He's Willie Rofe. All in like on Josh Simmons?
We've got to be careful with that. And I know that people love him tossing Ashton Gelati to the ground. They've seen that clip a million times. What you haven't seen is the clip when Gelati went right around him. When he used the stiff arm and the swim move and went right around Simmons. You haven't seen that clip, but you've seen the clip of him throwing him to the ground because that sells. That sells. He played well. He sells. But he's got as much NFL starting experience as me, you, and Nathan back in studio combined for NFL. So, yes, I think it's hope. Not you don't know. It's not something that's fact. You hope it's true, and you hope what you're hearing is true. But, again, it's one thing when you're actually playing another team in an NFL game when they can hit your quarterback. It's different when you're up at training camp and they got the yellow shirts on and they can't hit your quarterback. It's a different thing if your quarterback's running for your life and gets hit because of bad line play. All these things will work out. You'll see it, and it'll be glaring. If you miss blocks, it is glaring. People know exactly what lineman. I don't mean how many times we hear about Juwan Taylor and he missed a block, and that's why Mahomes is running alive. It'll be magnified, and the announcers will sit there and they'll watch it and say, well, see, he missed a block here, and that's why Mahomes got lit up. That's the last thing you want to see. But am I optimistic? 100% optimistic. Love his attitude. Love the things we can prove. We can prove his work ethic. You can prove the fact that he's been durable since the injury, and he's been out there every day, hasn't taken time off. Andy Reid lets him play every single play that he can. He doesn't take any days off. He's got the right attitude. That's the only thing we can prove. What he does in games, I have hope, but we don't know yet.
Here's my one thing, and I want to reel Chiefs fans in a little bit, because Mitchell Schwartz is on the show, Jeff Allen's on the show, and they both made Trent Williams comparisons. I think Josh Simmons is a good left tackle, and I think he's better than Kingsley Suamataia. I'm just saying, at this time last year, Chiefs fans are telling me, hey, Kingsley walked into camp, Andy Reid doesn't start rookies unless he trusts them. Kingsley's a rookie, bing, bang, boom, he trusts them. Trust me, it's going to be great.
Get out of the way.
And then not even, what, 1 3/4 of a football game of regular season game goes by, and suddenly it's Wanye, and then it's Tooney, and then it's DJ Humphreys. It was a cavalcade of people. I think Josh Simmons is obviously better than Kingsley at left tackle. I think he's good. But let's rein in a little bit of that Trent Williams hype, because I still think he's a rookie at left tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, it's one of the top positions. You think about quarterback, left tackle, shutdown corner, and an elite edge. And it is one of the most important. I mean, it's in my opinion, it's right behind quarterback as far as most important positions on the football field. So, yeah, it's one thing when you're doing it in practice. In minicamp, that's great. It's great when your quarterback can't get thrown to the ground. Well, now they can. Now they can't get tossed to the ground, because the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to say, oh, we can't hit Mahomes, we're not going to do it. No, they're going to do it. And whatever quarterback's back there, can Simmons stand up, it'll be magnified. But, yes, I think I have hope in how good he can be, because we've heard the comparisons and the way he sets his feet and the way he moves, and it's very impressive. Like, Josh Simmons, a very impressive dude. But, again, we'll see it in live action, see what happens. Coming up next, though, more of the Kansas City Chiefs, some other storylines for the game we're going to be watching tomorrow as we roll on from the Hollywood Casino out here by the Legends. Make sure you stop by. The drawing will be happening here, or the registration will be done here soon for O'Minahue, football, and a pair of tickets to the Chiefs and Colts game out here at Hollywood Casino, me and Rob.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Hollywood Casino. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. What's it, about 5:30 right now?
A little 5:30, which means you got half an hour to get down here. We are off the air today at 6, and that means if you miss the opportunity, you got to be here before 6 to get registered for a chance at a Charles O'Minahue football, register for a chance at Chiefs and Colts tickets, and if you get down to the Hollywood Casino before 6 o'clock and you are following the Hollywood Casino on social media, you have a chance to win $100 in pin cash. They will pull that every hour, which means 28 minutes, tick, 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 as Chris Berman used to say. Get down here, get chance, get registered for a lot of cool stuff. Hang out in the sports look, maybe watch a little Rolls baseball in here. Vern takes the air in about 30 minutes. Maybe do a little gambling. It's a nice Friday night out in the big town.
You can grab a
get
beer and
here.
Play poker up
get,
at the
get
bar.
Get a nice ice cold beer.
Watch sports.
I mean, it's hard to complain about life on a Friday night with cold beer and great sports.
I heard
you talking about your football.
I heard you two talking about your meals you're going to have after the show here today. Any leads? What are you guys thinking?
You know what? I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know, man. The burgers here are good too. Turn two is where I'm going. The lounge, because it's turn two of the the Kansas Speed. Obviously, no NASCAR going on right now, but it's a great spot. But I know Rob. I don't know. Rob's got to get his wife going. I don't know what they're.
I'm trying to sway the old wife to get down here and do a little gambling. So right now it's an uphill battle because, hey, I want you to drive 25 minutes from home to come out here and sit and gamble and drink beer and watch sports is not the selling point I thought it would be with her. But I'm making inroads, and if I make inroads, then I'll probably stick around, maybe go to turn two, maybe have some food down here. I haven't really decided yet. Step one is winning an uphill battle, and if I win that one, we'll just see where the night goes.
If you want to hide from your spouse, this is a perfect place to do it. Let me tell you that right now. Perfect place to do it.
Weird flex about this place, but I guess.
Matter of fact, when I get married again, it's going to be right here in the sports book. People can gamble on it whether it's going to last.
I'll be over at the kiosk.
The over under, the button. The over under on what it's going to last.
Smashing the number. You know what, Ben? As long as you got an open bar, your next one, I don't care. That's it. That's what I care about.
Oh, man. You know what, though? I guess I do kind of care about this game tomorrow. Maybe, you know what? Here's the deal, Rob. When I wake up, it's kind of a game. Can you believe you're going to be waking up at the screen? Wasn't today the first Red Friday?
I mean.
Like, you wake up tomorrow. I know it's preseason.
The flags aren't available, but I guess, yes, technically.
Well, it is. So you people with the red gear on, they went to work or whatever, and they're excited about it. But you wake up tomorrow, it's actually a game day. I know a preseason game day, but you know. I would say how long we waited, but when the Chiefs make the Super Bowl every year and play in the February, you don't have as long to wait as some of these other fan bases, do you?
Arizona's been waiting for a long time.
They've been waiting for a long time.
Despite your excitement about tomorrow, and I get why you're excited, Chiefs football's back. Exclusively heard here on 96.5 The Fan, by the way. If you're looking for Mitch, Danan, Kling, new pre- and post-host Josh Briscoe, if you're looking for their soothing tones that can only be heard on 96.5 The Fan, I get why you're excited, but Bink, watching the Hall of Fame game, watching the, you know, I guess we'll call them games that were played last night, and we have a few more games tonight, and looking at the starting lineups and looking at what's happening in preseason football, does the fact that no one seems to be the preseason product seems to be worse than ever affect your interest in the Chiefs game at all? Because I know Andy Reid lied to the media and said they're going to play for a quarter. I know it. That's a big lie. Does the fact that it's a drive, maybe a second of Patrick Mahomes, and then it's Minshew mania before Oladokun time, kind of temper your excitement a little
bit?
Don't
forget Bailey Zappi.
You're right. Now,
don't forget some Zap Master.
Who could forget?
Yeah, we'll see that. But I don't know. The players, obviously. Is there any been players that cared less about preseason than what you see now from the starters? I mean, honestly,
it's bad, man.
It's getting to the point of, all right, who's going to interview me first on the sideline with their T-shirt on or – you know, hanging out because they're not playing in the game. I mean, it's so minuscule to them, and I get it because they grind so much at training camp. I mean, they're waking up 100-degree heat. It's much different now. I mean, back when Marty was coach, and because they can't do it now, but they used to allow them to do it two-a-days. Like, oh, what were two-a-days? Well, two-a-days were a big part of football, but, of course, that's not part of it now. Now it's just don't get hurt. Don't be Rashawn Slater. Don't have the situation where you're gone from the year and you lose your left tackle. You don't want that situation. Don't be like Anthony Richardson, even though I don't think it's that much of a loss to the Colts, where his finger's going sideways. Because that'll be, you know, that dislocated finger under your head. They'll pop it right back in place. It'll be sore for a little bit.
Is it Brian Baldinger who has all the...
Yeah, his fingers roll.
Yeah.
Football fingers, man. They get that way, but...
Usually a quarterback.
No, just stay healthy. I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, it gets to the point. Honestly... Yeah, I think after this game, you'll be sitting there going, all right, how'd Simmons play? How'd Kingsley look? What's the left side of the line look like? Because you know what Creed's about. You know what Tre Smith's about. You know what Mahomes is about. You know what all this is about. But you don't know about Josh Simmons. You know what he's about. You know really about what Kingsley's about at left guard. And I do think it matters that Josh Simmons will have a guy, an unproven guy like that, starting Kingsley right next to him. Because that does matter continuity of the offensive line. So that is important. But I think the main thing you'll be looking at, all right, who's not hurt? Like when Andy Reid speaks at the end of the game, that first 2 minutes of that press conference is always the best. And Briscoe will bring it to you tomorrow from Arizona. But you hear, all right, who made it out of the game okay? Who's going to be practicing again on Monday up in St. Joe? Who are you not worried about? When are you getting Hollywood Brown back? Those are going to be some questions that people are going to want to answer. But just stay healthy tomorrow. But it is a game day. And you know what? Whenever you play into February, the Chiefs played more games than any team in the National Football League. That's what happens when you go to the Super Bowl or the AFC title game every year. You play more football than everybody. But their offseason doesn't begin until February. Other teams, it begins. Bengals had plenty of time to sit around and sit on their couch and watch it and wait for the NFL season. But it does start tomorrow with live action, meaning Mahomes. Mahomes has live action now. There's no more yellow jersey. Now guys can hit you on the other end. Now it matters what Simmons is doing.
Let me ask you a question about Josh Simmons. And, you know, this is kind of connects to the bad preseason product we've seen across the NFL. I have not investigated, I have not deep dive into how the Cardinals are going to handle the preseason tomorrow. I don't know. I'll be the first to admit it. The Cardinals preseason is not the top of my concern.
And it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But if the Cardinals are going to do what a lot of teams did, like the Eagles and kind of the Browns are doing, and we saw a lot of teams across football do the last couple nights and not really play their main guys. I mean, the Ravens didn't play their main guys. If the Cardinals go that route, it would surprise me based on their success the last couple seasons or lack thereof. But if the Cardinals aren't playing their main guys, do you then take a little less excitement and what you see from a Josh Simmons or a someone because now he's doing it against a future plumber or a future rotational edge? Like, I mean, if the Cardinals aren't playing their guys, it does kind of diminish your excitement, right?
Well,
you don't know.
It does a little. It matters who you're playing against. Like, that always matters. And it's the thing when I see these training camp highlights of somebody catching a 60-yard pass. All right, who'd he catch it against? Is the guy going to be in the UFL next year selling insurance? Who'd they catch it against? That's great. Is this a third stringer? Is this a practice squad guy that caught? Oh, he caught it against McDuffie? Oh, that matters. See, that stuff matters when you're doing that. Oh, Karloftis got back there to the quarterback. Oh, it wasn't Felix. It wasn't somebody else just trying to make this team get to the quarterback. That stuff matters. But, yeah, but I think it's at least a taste of what to expect from a Simmons or a Kingsley. Do I expect the line to play a lot in the first half? I do. I at least expect these starters to play at least the first quarter. Maybe Simmons goes a little deeper. Maybe they want to see more from him. Maybe they don't. Maybe they want to take it easy on the patellar tendon, have him out, not have him out as much. I think it behooves him. I think it's better to get acclimated and see live action because you'd really like to come up with some kind of conclusion of what you and I will talk about on Monday. Not, well, he played three plays and they handed off to Pacheco every time and he ran the opposite side. We don't want to talk about that. But it could happen. Could happen. Coming up next, we're at Hollywood Casino out at Legends. Make sure you stop by and say hi. Many nice people been coming by and saying hi to us. But there's some interesting things, including Shedeur Sanders' little walk-up in the National Football League in the preseason and possibly something happening in the state of Ohio because of those Cleveland Guardians. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Hollywood Casino. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Nathan Williams producing the operation. Good day, good day. Nice people came by here. Good day, have by all.
Great day, have by all. But the day's not over, Bink. We still got 12 minutes left, which means you got 12 minutes left to get out here and get registered for a Charles Minnick Who Signed Football or a chance to win tickets to Chiefs and Colts. And we are 12 minutes away from the final drawing for Hollywood Casino, chance to win $100 in pin cash. If you got out here somehow in the next 12 minutes and you get follow them on social media, Twitter, Facebook or Instagram, you have a chance to win $100 in pin cash. You got 11 and change before time runs out.
Come out here, win some money as well, and have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. A few drinks Friday night, man. Just have a good time.
Ice cold beer is being served right over there. I definitely have my eyes on the ice cold beer. I might be sticking around for a couple cold brews after the show today.
You missed National IPA Day. I think it was like yesterday.
Every day is National IPA Day.
I know
this.
But
IPA Day is a state of mind. It's not a holiday.
Well, I'm just saying, you can have IPAs any day you want, but I would celebrate the world of IPAs.
We were talking about the other day. You're the one that learned me this. Pumpkin beer, back on the shelf.
Yeah, it's
Oktoberfest, back on the shelf.
Yeah, finally Oktoberfest is back.
And you're not only drinking that when it's August, right?
Yeah, I do, actually. Here's the thing. Oktoberfest is actually the freshest at the end of May. In the beginning of June, it's when it's done. It's just sitting there. So it's just sitting there ready to be sold.
It's fermenting.
So it's just sitting there. Now, beer's better to drink beer fresh. So you know what? But at least they're putting it on the shelves in August, in September, October, because as soon as Halloween is done, it is winter beer time.
No,
I'm a very seasonal guy.
I'm
Coors Light all summer, but
I agree with you 100%. But I would tell you, I try to get my Oktoberfest in September. Like, it's a nice crisp fall day to watch a little football. Oktoberfest. The minute the clock goes from Halloween to November, that is when it goes from you know, Oktoberfest beers to dark beer. I'm talking look like motor oil for
that's
Christmas
fine. I
time.
Love that.
That's what I love.
That's what I like. Give me some Mother's Winter Grind, man. It's summer. But you know what? Right now, football's on. When football comes back, you know it's time for Oktoberfest. Bottom line is,
but I can't do that for the first. I got tickets to that first KU game in the new stadium. If it's
cold, stadium does look good.
It looks incredible.
Booth looks good.
If it's cold, I'll have an Oktoberfest. I'll be in win in Rome. I'll have a free stay. But you know what I'm not going to do if it's 87 degrees out? I'm not going to have a hot beer. I'm going to have something cold and light and refreshing. Maybe a Busch Light or a Mick Ultra. That might be the move that kind of time.
What would you do if you're drinking? Well, actually, you'd probably be drinking if you're going to a Browns game. But if you're watching Shadur Sanders start, would you be excited? Or would you be like Team Gabriel, Team Flacco, Team Pickett? Everybody's hurt except Flacco. He's just sitting around. But regardless, Shadur Sanders makes quite an entrance into the stadium.
Yeah, he mean that's Shadur. Shadur, I think, has a big opportunity tonight to jettison himself into the quarterback competition. Because I don't follow the Browns, I follow the Chiefs. But I don't believe it's a competition right now in Cleveland. I think because of Pickett's health and because of Flacco's age, they're starting Shadur. But if those guys were healthy and younger, Shadur would be playing in the fourth quarter tonight. If you are Shadur, if you thought to yourself, hey, I am a legitimate NFL starting quarterback, I'm going to prove it. Tonight's the night where you can go out and prove it. I don't think walking in the way he walked in, the same energy he had at Colorado, which was look at me, is going to endear himself. But if he goes out and balls out, I mean, he's playing the Panthers, so there's an opportunity to ball out. But if he does that, there's a chance there of some bigger stuff. But the early feel after watching him walk into the stadium is I don't know that Shadur has been humbled by his draft position. And if he's not humbled, I worry that he's going to grab the opportunity by the horns today.
I think at least he's been a lot more humble than we thought going into it. I mean, we were talking about
a
guy that
played
his. The walk
in today would make you feel like he's not that.
I know when you see that. But the bottom line is when you saw at Colorado, they played his music in the locker room post game. It was Shadur singing,
when
right?
When he scored, they didn't play the band.
It was Shadur playing. That doesn't sit well with teammates. And also the fact that they, retired his jersey. And he was, 12-13 as a starter. Retired his jersey. Again, give him a break in Cleveland.
I am excited. If there's one preseason game I'm actually excited for, it's him tonight. I saw him live and in person once in Kansas City. I saw him play KU, and he underwhelmed. So I'm intrigued to watch him at the next level, albeit it's going from minor league college football to quadruple A preseason football.
We all know it's Joe Flacco's team. He has 10 postseason wins. 10-6 in the postseason. That's pretty good stuff. Nathan, great job back in studio. Nathan Williams producing the operation. Josh Fernier has Vern's On Deck show, Royals and Twins. We heard right here on 96.5. Thanks to Rob Brenton. Thanks to everybody here at Hollywood Casino. Great, great time. Talk to you guys soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a